Larry Rezavian is Out of Town Checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play. Wrapping up right there means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We are at 12 minutes before the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading of 1 below zero here in central Minnesota. It is our 409th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. We have our guest on the line, and we're going to go to the phone line right now and bring him in. Say good morning to Mr. Brian Briggan. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning, Si. I'm doing wonderful, and thank you for making me a part of the 409th show. That's tremendous.
Yeah, it is quite an accomplishment. Now we go back all the way to number one was Wally Pickle, and that was in February of 2013. So this is 9 years of doing this show, and we're still having fun. I mean, all these great musicians, and of course that includes you. So knowledgeable, so professional, and always a good story to tell. So we just thank you for the music you make and for joining us today. We're just pleased to have you on the air, Brian.
Well, thank you, Si. That's very nice of you to say that. But if you started your show out with Wally Pickle, and I'm sure you've had some of the greats out that way, and to me, to be included with a name such as Wally Pickle, and some of the others, I find that a complete honor.
Well,
I really mean.
You bet. And Brian, you know what? What's neat about most musicians is that, you know, so you play an instrument, but you still put your shoes and socks on the same way as all those folks that don't play an instrument. So you're just a plain old guy, right?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that compliment, and that's the way I was taught to be. So I ain't gonna sit here and blow smoke because that's not what I do. But really, sincerely, I was born and raised a farm boy. Just because I played a concertina and ran a band, I was not exempt from any chores that my brothers and my sister had to do, or waking up and baling hay. I still had to be accountable for everything I did on a farm. When I would come home at 5 o'clock in the morning from playing dance jobs, it was still required of me to get up in the morning and milk cows and still do the same chores as everybody else because I was no better or no different.
Hey,
I always appreciated that. I really did.
Well, that is awesome. That is awesome. Now, you are the son of Phil and Madonna Briggan?
Yes, that is correct. Yes, and I just visited with my mom this morning about a half hour ago, and I told her I was going to do this show, and she says, well, tell them hello from me. So
well,
there you go.
Awesome, you bet. And we had her on the show, what is that, over a year ago, I guess. But,
yeah,
so fun to get the history and get the different perspectives. You know, people that are a little older, once in a while we get somebody really young, but it's always fun to have the older ones on that have some history. And, of course, your dad and mom, they go way back, and boy, they had some really good stories to tell. I'm just sad that I didn't get your dad on the radio show.
Yeah, my mother actually is going to be 87 years old coming up on February 15th. She's going to be 87, and she's doing magnificent. She really is.
That's awesome. And I had the pleasure to meet her on several occasions. We used to come to that German Fest, like I've told you before, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the end of July. And she was always there. She was always selling the CDs and concessions for you guys. And what a delightful lady.
You know, and I'm sure this is with a lot of young kids coming up and playing, but having parents that are influential in what you do is huge. And even though my dad played on the band, he was a big part of it. Like my oldest son says, Grandpa was such a good entertainer, he didn't even need a trumpet. Just give him a microphone and he was good. But my mother was a huge part, and I'm no Elvis Presley, nor do I claim to be, but Elvis was very close to his mother.
Yeah.
And I am very close to my mother, and what I did as a musical kid And growing up through it, my mother always was by my side to help me make a decision that was whether I should do it or don't do it. It was my mom I always kind of went to. Like when we go out playing Cy on a Friday and Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday sometimes, I had to be to work, as we talked about earlier. You know, I was not exempt from nothing. Mondays, I put my work boots on, and when I went to work, my mother stayed in the house. You know, she was doing the house chores and that. But her phone was pretty busy on Mondays, and that she always said that was the biggest day for her not to plan anything, to stay home and take care of band business, because she would book the band, and she'd be mailing out, back in the day, LPs and 8-track cassettes. That's what she did. She was quite busy at it, you know. So Mondays was a big day. So I owe a lot of my success and my fortunes that have came the way in the music, I owe it to my mom.
Well, that's a feel-good story. I can say the same about my parents. You know, not everybody can. I mean, not everybody had a good home life. But, boy, for those that did, and it's just fun to hear those stories. A lot of folks like to hear that, so that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's all true stuff, you know?
Yep.
It is, all good stuff.
You bet. Well, as long as we're reminiscing, Brian, and I didn't forewarn you about this, but could we take a couple of minutes and to remember a great musician that passed away just some time ago, and he was a part of your band for several years. I'm talking about Mr. Don Burkhart.
Don Burkhart, yes, he was. He was a phenomenal musician, as we know. Everybody knew Don. He played with a lot of great bands over the years, and played with the Whoopi John Band, played with the Babe Wagner Band, and spent many years with Carl and the Country Dutchman. And just due to his location and moving and thereabouts, that's how he kind of ended up with us. They ended up moving in Cashin here, and it was a perfect fit. And Donnie lived up here, so he worked with us for jeepers. I bet you close to 10 years, but
yeah.
He was a great player. Him and my dad were, I remember playing out at a German Fest in New Ulm in the German Rivers Room of the Holiday Inn, which is now, I believe, the Best Western. But I remember playing out there, and Christy Hengel come in and was videotaping us. And he come up to the stage, and I'll never forget it. He says, "How can you get so much out of two trumpets?" And it really was. And then at the time, we had a drummer by the name of Dennis Sull, and he would play a trumpet also.
Okay.
While he was playing the drums. So actually, sometimes we had three trumpets going. But Don Burkhart was a great great lead trumpet player, and he had a very good voice as well. You know,
he really did. And he's on several of your recordings, as I recall.
Yes, he is. Hear his voice.
I think, did your dad do that much singing back in the days? Or, I mean, did he did always sing, but they somehow shared the singing, huh?
Yeah, actually, my dad did most of the singing. Then when Don came on, then they kind of went about half and half, and they were all okay with it. It was a great fit. My dad was more of the, when we got into the, like the old Whoopi stuff where the broken English was, that's what my dad sang. And then when we got into the foxtrot, the modern stuff, as like some old country western things, but maybe Tiny Hill music, that's what my dad really focused on.
Okay.
For instance, "Don't Let the Stars Get in Your Eyes, Don't Let the Moon Break Your Heart." That's the kind of stuff my dad sang. Don was more of a in a polka band, he was almost had more of a Broadway voice for a polka band.
Yeah,
you know?
He did, really.
Yeah, and that's so he kind of featured on that stuff. Like, he would sing "Hello, Dolly," stuff like that, you know?
Okay.
And so we had quite a repertoire of music that we could pull off. Now, you throw those two guys into the mix. And at that same time, back in the 90s, I had Lou Allen playing bass horn.
Yeah.
And he used to be on the Dorschner Band, and he played with some of the best Dixieland bands, around the Madison and Milwaukee, Wisconsin area.
And
he was in the Navy band, I believe, also. And then I had Tony Jurgensen playing the banjo, and he was the finest banjo probably in the Midwest.
Grandpa.
For a long time. And yeah, Grandpa Tony Jurgensen. Then he came off of the Shakey's Pizza Circuit and did a lot of riverboat music. So he knew Dixieland upside down, you know.
Yeah.
Inside out. And so if I had Tony Jurgensen on one side of me, Lou Allen on one side of me, and my dad and Don Burkhardt, I was full of history around me that those guys could play anything. And I would say the 90s is when I really learned the most about playing the right chords of music, because they always said, if you can't play the right chords, it really ain't going to mean much.
Sure.
You know, and it was really a great time of my life to run a band was the 90s, because I was surrounded by lots of talent.
Well, how old would have you been back in the 90s about, Brian? Were you 30-ish or 20s?
Oh, let's see. I was born in 65, so back in the, you know, early 30s, you know?
Yeah, okay.
And that's really absorbing a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Like our bass player, Lou Allen, there wasn't a song that we wouldn't play that he couldn't have taken a solo on a tuba. He
really?
Was that good.
Oh, yeah. Man. Is Lou still living yet today?
Lou passed away here about 6 months ago.
Oh, he did, too.
Yeah, so my dad, Don Burkhardt, Lou Allen, and Tony Jurgensen from the 90s band, they're all gone. The ones that are left is the drummer, Dennis Stoll, and myself.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. Some great history there. Brian, if we can ask you to hold that thought, we'll get back to that in just a moment. It's already 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota, and we've reached the time where we usually read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. Then we'll come back to you, Brian, if that's all right.
I do have a concertina sitting, but next to me, if you want to hear any live stuff, I'll gladly play it.
We'll get back to that in just a moment. Sounds good. Good. All righty. So, Cy here for the St. Joe Meat Market. Well, we are well after the first of the year now, and that means income tax time. Yes, folks mentioning that they have a refund coming, and they want to invest it so they don't just blow it. Any ideas how the St. Joe Meat Market might help? Well, you bet. The St. Joe Meat Market has halves and quarters of beef, as well as whole and half hogs, all processed to your specifications. If you like your steaks cut thicker for on the grill, or the roast boneless, rolled and tied up fancy like you sometimes see in the supermarkets, the St. Joe Meat Market will do that, and no extra charge for that extra service either. All processing includes cutting, wrapping, trimming, grinding, freezing, tenderizing of steaks individually wrapped or paper in between, and or boneless cut steaks and roasts, all for the regular low processing price. Now, what if it's just the wife and you don't need a whole quarter or a half of beef? Well, the St. Joe Meat Market sells half of a halves of beef and beef and pork bundles, which amount to a portion or a quarter of beef or a half hog, just right for that small freezer above the refrigerator. Well, then it sounds like you need to call the St. Joe Meat Market. You might also ask, how long does it take from the time you place your order? Most orders are usually processed and ready to go in a week to 10 days or less. So as always, for more information, look us up on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com. You can call 320-363-4913 to make that tax refund work for you. And Brian, for being our guest on the show, and well, you've been here before, and it still works the same. We've got a nice meat package put up at the meat market, and along with Chasm, we will send it off to you this week, priority mail, and hope that you and Jody and the family around you, that you all enjoy it in good health. How's that been working out for you?
That sounds like a good plan. We do appreciate that. Thank you, Cy. Thank you. St. Joe Meat Market.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a fun ride. Again, 409 times we've done this, and I haven't had yet one person to complain that they didn't like their meat package. So that's
awesome. You bet.
Well, before we get to that concertina, a couple more things I was going to ask you. Number one, how are you doing for health? I know the wife there, Jody's, had some issues. You guys doing okay? You back on the stage playing once in a while again? Or what are things like for the Mississippi Valley Dutchman?
So we are back in track, as you know, and every band leader knows the whole COVID thing really threw a tremendous wrench in the gears, you know?
Yep.
And I kind of, how do I say it? I kind of took lemons and made lemonade, Si.
Okay.
But the break we had, it was right kind of in the time where my youngest son and my second youngest son, those guys were kind of in their high school years. My youngest son is in his senior year right now, so I was able to, let the music thing alone for a little bit, although I play every day. I practice every day for about a half hour to 45 minutes, sometimes an hour.
Uh-huh.
But it actually gave me a chance to catch up watching my kids and their sporting activities and high school activities. And my oldest son lives down in Nashville, so we got to spend some time with him. My daughter, I only have one daughter, and she just got married in June, and come to find out, I just heard the last couple months, I'm going to be a grandpa, Si, for the first time. So.
You're way too young, Brian.
Yeah, well, there you go. You never say when, you know, you just never know. But anyway, so it gave me a chance, and my youngest boy, as I say, he's senior in high school. He's 6'4" and he's playing basketball, looking at different colleges and that. Come the end, we played last year. We actually had quite a few fall gigs for Oktoberfest and that stuff, and then wintertime came and we just kind of slowed our way down, and now end of February we start in again. We're playing the Concordia Ballroom in La Crosse February 27th, and Sherryland Ballroom, we're there in March, and we got to play a hardware convention here coming up March 5th and 6th, I believe. That's on a Thursday and Friday. So we got work coming up. We certainly do.
Okay. And you were talking about the 90s band, so we knew all of those personalities. Who's in the band these days?
Well, I tell you what, I've had the same crew now. Marty Nachreiner jumped on the band in the late 90s, and Marty still plays with us yet. Terrific clarinet sax player, trumpet player. My son Philip plays trumpet with us. And Frank Gillespie on the bass horn. And Jody, she's kind of either a drummer or a piano player, whichever we get to the point we need. But majority of the time, Jody is the drummer, and I have a nice young fella that does play piano, banjo with us. His name is Chris Langan.
Oh, yes.
His dad was Tom Langan that played the tuba for Sylvester Liebel and Jolly Swiss Boys for years.
Oh, yes.
And then I have another gentleman by the name of Mark Hines out of Colby, Wisconsin, who plays clarinet and sax and a keyboard as well.
Pretty good.
So usually we're running with a 6, sometimes 7-piece band still to the day.
Isn't that awesome? And you're one of those that kind of doesn't give in to the pressures of the economics. a lot of the good bands, I mean, when they got a 1-piece or 2-piece thing, they'll go out. But then there's some like you and Adam Sandhurst that say, nope, if we can't take the full band, we're not going.
That's just how it is.
Yeah.
You know how it is. I guess I put way too much time in this to let it get away. I just feel that if I would bow down and go smaller, it would be gone.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to do that. So I got some very nice arrangements in the band that Nachreiner has wrote. And stuff like that. And several guys have written some arrangements for the band. And it's just, I've written some of them. And I just don't want to not have a reason to go play those. You know, I think they need to be heard.
Well, absolutely. And I've been part of the small gigs, you know, wedding deals or, you know, a bar room corner where there's only room for one guy and you squeeze two or three in there. And so we've done that thing. But there's something special about the bigger band. I mean, you got 6 or 7 personalities. Somebody's always coming up with something. And it's just so much fun.
It is. It seems like when you can put a front row out there with 3 horns, you can really lace out some nice harmony. I remember working as a young kid playing some jobs with Sylvester Liebel, And, you know, when you're young, you're trying to do this and that and really play fancy and see how many notes you can get in there and let her go. And Sil always told me, he says, you know, sometimes less is more. And he says, when the people are dancing around, they just like to hear a simple harmony. And it is so true.
Yes. Yep.
You know, it just a simple harmony can go a long way. I got to tell you something, Si. Talking about this interview, I was very nervous for this phone call this morning.
You were?
Oh, yeah. I just told my wife, I said, I get nervous on these interviews to say the right things and to give the right people the credit in that. But anybody that's on Facebook, I'm not, my wife is, but I did an interview with a internet magazine, you might say, called Love Wisconsin.
Okay.
And if you get chance, or anybody listening out there, if you want to read, it was supposed to be a one-part interview, and the gentleman sat in my house one day, and he took 450 pictures of me playing. He took pictures of my belt that I wore, and belt buckles, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And just every little thing, but I did an interview with him, and it lasted for 6 hours. And it turned out to be they did a three-part story, and I gave a little bit of the history and how I grew up, a lot of the stuff we're talking about today. So anybody listening or yourself, you can go on the Love Wisconsin Facebook page, and you can read a three-part interview that I did, and I think you might find a little entertaining.
I'll bet. You bet. Well, before we hear that concertina selection that you've got special for us, I want to talk a little bit about the CDs you've got out. Do you happen to have a handle on how many there are these days?
I think there's 11 of them out there, Si.
11? Okay.
I probably should have did it, or should have, or could have, whatever you want to say. Probably could have done more. But, the timing's got to be right, you know?
Yep, that's true.
And so that's where we're at right now. And the banjo player on the band, he's been after me to come out and then do another one. So we'll have to see. You know, we'll have to see. And when I just don't want to go and record the same stuff that stuff that's been recorded already. I don't want to get it to get repetitious. I would like to come out with some stuff that hasn't. When bands are playing, we hear a song and everybody jumps on that song. I would rather let that go and go back to the 1940s and find that one.
Oh yes. Well, and that's why I brought the CDs up, because Brian, of all the bands that I play and talk to and interview and been a part of, I think I enjoy your music the most, because on your recordings, and I'm just grabbing your CDs right now and looking at a few of them, it seems like you always come up with some names that I don't recognize, and I have an interest to see what that song sounds like. So as I'm looking at the CDs right now, I'm seeing Brady Alexander, for an example, and I don't know what it sounds like, and I can't remember what it sounds like, but I don't think it's a Vita Elznick arrangement or anything. You come up with your own stuff once in a while, don't you?
I did. I actually wrote that song.
Did you really?
Yeah, the Brandy Alexander.
Brandy Alexander. There, I always say Brady. I'm thinking of your son, Brady, but it's Brandy, huh? Okay.
The Brandy Alexander. I wrote that song. Yeah, I think I got about 30 of them to my credit here that I've written.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So, like, I see Keeney's Polka on another one. I can't recall.
I wrote that for my bass horn player, Frank Gillespie, for his daughter. Her name was Kiana. But they always called her Keeney.
Okay. And then looking at Special Delivery, Volume 8, I see one called Sleepy Time Up North.
Yep, I wrote that as well.
Oh, my gosh. And
I wrote probably the most popular one that I've wrote that really was recorded by a lot of bands was Kaylee's Lullaby.
Yes, I've heard that on a number of recordings, and I've always, and most of them give you credit for it, too. And I think that's so neat when the bands do that. If they do a Dorschner number, they'll put Ray Dorschner behind it, and I have seen your name behind that one. So that's awesome.
It is kind of nice to have, and you have a lot of good players out there, out that direction, and from the Fredrickson to the Dane Molden and Adam up there, them guys are good players, and And I, you know, once in a while, I'll see a video or something of these guys going through parade routes, and they'll show, and they're playing a song that I wrote. That's quite rewarding. It really is. And you know, one time, Carl Hartwig did a recording. This was probably 10, 15 years ago already, and he recorded Keeney's Polka. And I thought, man, that guy can really play. He took a song that I wrote and multiplied it by 10.
Oh, really?
Well, that's really cool to have a guy like that take one of my songs.
And a short tail relative at that too yet, huh?
Yeah, that's it. That is correct.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that's kind of rewarding to hear that. I always thought if I could write a song and whip it to Carl to let him play it, or any of these guys, these young guys, it's like taking a piece of raw hamburger and whipping it into the lions, let them see what they can do with it.
Absolutely. You know, and I've had, this is all serious, I've had so many people call me, and this is not exaggerating, and they have said, what are the chances that you could ever get Carl and Brian and Gary together on one recording again? And they're referring to the one that you did with Carl that time. Is it called I'm Always Dreaming? Was that the
I must be.
There you go.
You know, there's an interesting story about that recording. It was back in the late 80s, and we decided that we were going to do a recording. And Hartwig was driving a Winnebago motorhome at the time. I'm driving a van and trailer, and him and I hung out together a lot.
Yeah.
And my dad is in the field mowing, cutting hay. He had a little Ferguson 40 tractor hook up to a New Holland hay bind, and he's out cutting hay. And here goes the Winnebago across the field road, and the hay bind stops. Dad hops in the camper. And we told Dad we're going to do this recording, and we played him some songs, and he says, boys, he says, go for it. He said, you got to do this. And so we got a hold of Menar, Jerry Menar, JBM Studios at the time, and went up there, and Carl had a little wager going on with Kim Risto.
Yeah.
At the time.
Uh-huh.
And play the drums for him, and had a little wager that recording could not be done in, I think it was 3.5 hours or 4 hours.
Oh, my gosh, that's good.
We went into the studio. It was her, I think Kim played the drums. I know she did. And Carl and myself, Keith Reese played piano, and Doug Young played the tuba.
Uh-huh.
And we went in, and we laced that recording off in that short a time, and there was one song that we had to go over twice. One song. Other than that, everything was on the first take.
Oh, my gosh. That was heaven for Jerry, recording, you know, to pull something off that fast. I mean, I know the work that goes through in recording because I've been part of these sessions already. And when you, the multiple musicians, somebody's always going to make a squeaker or something that they don't quite like. And so then you have to go back. But that's a testament to the quality of musicians that you guys were back in the day. So that's awesome.
And then to follow it up, that's when we thought we'd give it another shot of that, but include Jerry Shuft in it. Jerry was in his 60s at the time, and although he wasn't running a band anymore, he still played some, and we just thought we needed to honor him a little bit and to get him. We tried to get Sylvester Liebel to be in on that recording as well, but Syl was kind of up in age and didn't think he could probably do it anymore. So there was really going to be four of us on that recording, but it ended up to be Jerry Shuft, Carl Hartwig, and myself.
And boy, now as you look back, aren't you glad you did that? I mean, you never seen the day coming when Jerry Shuft wasn't going to be there anymore, but boy, oh boy, I had one opportunity to drum for him, and I just pinch myself to this day to think that I had the opportunity to play on the same stage with Jerry. So, yeah.
You know what? To have Jerry Shuft and Carl Hartwig in my house, that's where that recording was done. In my house, and it was all carpeted room, kind of a neat record. It's a living room, but it turned out to be a great recording studio. Other bands have used my house for that. But anyway, it turned out to be a great thing to have him, which I always really looked up to him.
Absolutely. Yep.
I really did. In his day, he could play a lot of concertina, let me tell you.
He really could. Yeah, and he was passionate about it. And that's what I like to see in musicians, when they really, you know, he did other stuff for work too, just like you and I. He had a weekday job too, but boy, he could put his heart and soul into it when he picked up that concertina.
He could, and to have him in my house is the guy that I kind of really looked up to, not just musically, but, you know, as you're a kid, you know, you kind of have your own ideas of stuff, and then Dad tells you you should do it this way or do it, and you kind of, sometimes you buck what you're being told. But Jerry, he was an absolute elder friend to me. And he would always give me little advice about this and that, of things to do with running a band and treating guys, how to do things the correct way so they're treated fairly. You know, he really worked with me on that.
You bet. Well, Brian, this show has turned out to be really a tribute show to some great older musicians. And the one that I didn't want to let escape before we get further along, and that is, you made a recording with your dad, Brian Brigham, and the Mississippi Valley Dutchman, and I'm Always Dreaming, it says, and it's a picture of your dad sitting, singing into a microphone, and is that your son looking up like he's daydreaming?
Yes, that is the one, and that was taken in my son's third grade classroom.
Okay.
That microphone, actually, that my dad is holding, that we still use that microphone today.
Oh, my gosh.
And now that's my youngest boy, and he is the one that's a senior in high school right now. So that's
wow. And that recording came off so good. Your dad, I never knew this, but your dad really liked to sing. And it came out in your mom's interview that he told her that he sometimes wished he would have never played an instrument. He would have just rather just sung with the band.
He always told me that, too. He said, if I had to do it over again, he said, I would have found myself a good guitar player and a little backup band, and I would have just loved to sing.
Yep, and he did a great job. And the older he got, the more established, you think of Burl Ives and some of these older singers, Bing Crosby. I mean, as they got older, their voice became more, I don't know the word.
Distinct.
Yeah, true. And, you know, people just love the different ones. And I find that same thing listening to your dad sing. He kind of cracks a note here or there, you know, but it's his own style. Nobody could ever duplicate him. I just don't think they could.
Well, he was up in age at that time, and I wanted to capture some stuff before it was too late. And we have a Brett Hughes Soundstrations recording studio out of La Crosse.
Okay.
And I wanted to go up to Jerry Menard JBM's. My dad really wasn't up for an all day. He didn't really want to ride that far and spend a whole day doing that. And I said, well, Dad, La Crosse is 30 miles away. I'll go down and I'll get the whole recording studio set up. If you can just come down, which Jody brought him down.
Okay.
And he walked into the studio, put a set of headphones on, and he sat in a chair just like a recliner. And in the studio that we had there for him. And after a couple cups of coffee, the voice started. It was early in the morning. And after the couple cups of coffee kicked in, his voice really purified. And it was truly my dad at his best, I thought.
You bet. And now, after the fact, I mean, do you sometimes find yourself pinching yourself and thinking, man, how lucky I could be to have worked alongside of my dad all those years and to be part of his life. You have that same impression, too, as I do?
44 years I worked next to my dad.
44.
And wow. I tell you, the one where I caught myself pinching myself, as you're talking about, back in, my dad passed away in 17, so back right before COVID hit, it was 2019, I believe, would have been. But we were invited to play an Oktoberfest for our military troops in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
And we went to, some of my guys love to take them along, but some of my guys just don't like to fly, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it was a long trip, didn't want to be gone that long. And I actually took Gary Schrader along on that trip, and Mike Wendelek went along in that trip.
Yep, yep.
Job. My son, Mark Hines, and Chris Langan played the banjo, but six of us went over there. And we flew out of Minneapolis, went to Jacksonville, and then they took us up to Atlanta, something like that. I can't remember just where we all went. But we went over there, and it was a phenomenal trip. We had security chaperones with us and security with us at all times. And they treated us like kings. We walked into this big ballroom, and we had to do two-hour sets. The first set was for the military families, mom and dad and their children that were based in Guantanamo Bay. And we went and did this two-hour show, and it was mom and dad and the kids. So we had to do interacting music and some sing-alongs for the kids. I actually went down and sat in the middle of the ballroom floor with a room full of kids around me, and we did some of that stuff. That lasted for 2 hours. Then the lady comes up and says, at this time, we ask all families to take children, and they will have to leave. But the adults can come back. So we took a hour break. The doors got shut, and when they reopened, it was just adults, husbands, wives, military, whatever. And that's when they really had the traditional break out the steins, and here we go. It's Oktoberfest time in Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, my goodness.
And we played for 2 hours to a packed ballroom, and it was very fun because there was people, military from Wisconsin there, Minnesota, Michigan, and all over the place. And they all had a story to share with us, you know, and it was so rewarding. And we played for 2 hours.
Wow.
And something that I started that day, and we do this on every dance job now. But when we finished up, we played Beer Barrel Polka, I believe, was the last song we played. I think we played it five times in that 2 hours. But I left them with the Beer Barrel Polka, and right when we finished up, I do a duet with myself and Mark Hines, the piano player, where we just stop everything, and very silently, we play the Star Spangled Banner. And I tell you, there was glasses clinking and people dancing, standing on tables, jumping around, and it went dead silent to everybody standing at attention facing a flag. And we played the Star Spangled Banner, and everything just went dead silent, and it was honor our flag. And I played the Star Spangled Banner. There was one time I pinched myself that I thought of my dad, because my dad was a Korean War vet, and he took his military very serious.
Yep.
And when I played that and seen that, all I could think of was, I'm getting a little teary in my eyes as I talk about it, but I was thinking of my dad, if he could see this right now.
Isn't that true?
Yep. From him and I milking cows in the morning to here I am in Guantanamo Bay playing for his military family, the Star Spangled Banner, and everything went dead silent, and everybody saluted that flag. And I'm playing. Mark Hines is playing piano behind me, and I got four other guys wiping tears on the stage.
Yep.
That was something. That is a moment I will never forget.
Well, you know, Brian, I usually ask you for a memory or an experience or something. We'll use that one as it, because you can't top that. That is just awesome. I mean,
you know, I think of that memory, Si, I bet you 20 times a day. It was something incredible.
Yep.
When we left Guantanamo Bay, they put us on a ship, or not a ship, but a big passenger boat to take us to the airport. And when we were leaving the dock, the military people followed in buses along the canal there on a road, and they walked, and they lit up ambulances and fire trucks with their lights going, thanking us.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
It was incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Brian, before all of our time escapes, you've got that concertina sitting there. I usually ask, like, what's the first song that comes out of a concertina? In this case, you've probably got something premeditated, thought up what you're going to do. So give us the setting. What concertina, what color it is, what key it is, what you're going to do for us.
Well, I'm playing my concertina that I got from Christy Hingle when I was 15 years old. It is a 1980 model number 252, black with rose gold bellows in her, and she's played a lot of notes, let me tell you.
Okay, very good.
And, but I really have a song premeditated here. If there's something that you would like, lay one on me and I'll do it for you.
Oh, gosh, you caught me blank. I didn't. It's usually the other way around. I ask the questions and somebody else is stumped. This time I'd have to look at one of your CDs to think of something. But, I mean, you play so many good numbers in that. Treat the listeners to whatever you want, whatever comes out, whether do a couple, a polka and a waltz or a nice two-step, whatever you got.
I'll tell you what, I'll play a waltz first. Here's a song that I wrote for a nice little girl in Cashton. It was on our latest CD that we did. It was a live CD. And it's called Bonita's Waltz. Okay, I'll play it for you. So here we go.
All right. Awesome, Brian. Brian Brigham there for folks just tuning in and saying, what is this now? This is Brian Brigham live across the wires playing. And what key concertina did you say it was?
That was a key of a B-flat concertina, and that song was played in the key of B-flat, and the middle part was in the key of F, and the last part was in E-flat and A-flat.
Very good. Awesome. Very good. Brian Brigham, and that's live from Cashton, Wisconsin. One more for us. Brian, what do you got?
Sure, absolutely. I'm going to play the B-flat concertina again, and I'm going to do you a number that the great Sylvester Liebel wrote. It's called the Midsummer Polka. This will be played in the key of D. D as in dog. Thank you.
Oh, very good. Folks just joining, listening, and saying, what's happened to our program here? This sounds like live music. Yes, it is. We've got Brian Bregan from his home in Cashton, Wisconsin, playing his B-flat Hengel's concertina there, black with the rose-colored bellows. And by golly, Brian, I got to tell you, I've listened to you all my life that I've known you, and you haven't lost a step. It sounds good.
I got one more if you got time.
I do. You take her away.
Champion Valley Polka.
Oh, awesome. Oh, so good. Very good. Brian Bregan there, folks. Brian Bregan on the concertina. And again, the Champion Valley Polka. Brian, it sounds so good.
Thank you so very much. It's a treat to play for you, and I hope the people out there enjoy it and keep promoting and listening to the radio station up there, KASM, and I hope they continue to listen and support your sponsor, St. Joe Meat Market. Keep making it.
You bet. And just reminiscing a bit, going back in time, you guys did come up into central Minnesota some years back and play for Merle Felling and his annual event up in Sauk Center, up at the high school there in Sauk Center, kind of a concert-style venue. And I know you guys were really well-received when you guys came up here that time.
There was a lot of people there.
Yes, yes. They were setting up chairs in the aisles in the hallway, and I think that was probably when they went to having tickets issued, because they were having such a success filling that auditorium. I mean, back in those days, I think maybe the Wendingers might have done the first one, and then he had Carl come up there, and then was you and Gary and Barefoot Becky, and through the years, Dale Damon, a lot of great bands. Merle always gets a good band. Larry Zavi was up there a couple of times, but we hope that the good Lord willing, Merle's still doing this thing, and that he gets you on that schedule and gets you back up here again. We'll let you do the traveling, and we'll come and watch you. How's that?
That sounds good. I remember coming up there and playing. We were supposed to start at, was it 1 o'clock or
yep.
top of the hour anyway, and Merle come up on stage, and he says, there's a line of people outside waiting to get in. He says, you got to hold off. We held off, and they started sitting up chairs, and I don't know how many people there, but there was a lot.
Oh, that's
a lot of people.
That's a big auditorium, so yeah, quite a compliment. And unfortunately, a lot of those good listeners are no longer with us, and we got to just somehow encourage our youth, the younger generation. They're missing the boat. I mean, what we grew up going out to dances, and like you've mentioned, listening to Sylvester Ebel. We over here in Minnesota had Ivan Kale, Elmer Scheid, some of those bands. Boy, those were the good old days, weren't they, Brian?
You betcha, and grandpa and grandmas and moms and dads, bring your kids out. We need replacements. We need the younger generation. We played La Crosse Oktoberfest this year, or back in 2021, and even Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, played that one too. And you know, it's so exciting to go there and play. And, you know, La Crosse is a college town. You got the University of La Crosse, Viterbo College, technical schools and that. And them young kids came outside. We played 2 days down there, and them young kids came out and loved it. They absolutely loved it. And I don't know what's different about for them to go there. They had a blast. But we need them to get to the ballrooms and to the places on Sundays and Saturdays and get back to the polka bands at wedding dances, because that's where it all started, was the good old wedding dances. You know, as I was saying, I did this interview for this Love Wisconsin on the internet, and I just read through some of the comments of the interview I did, and a lot of people commented, "We remember doing that, dancing to that band at wedding dances."
Yep, yep.
It was always brought up about the wedding dance or the anniversary dance.
Yep.
We need to get back to that.
Absolutely.
We do.
Yep.
For one thing, it's good for families.
It is. It is. It's good, clean family fun. You bet.
Yes, it is.
Well, Brian, our time has run out. We want to save some time to play a couple of your recordings yet. I want to take this opportunity. Really, thank you. Boy, it's been a very special show. The good Lord willing, we'll do this thing again sometime. How's that?
That sounds good, Si, and I want to thank you for allowing me to do this show and to be part of your program, and for you folks listening, thank you so very much. Every story I told today was sincerely from the bottom of my heart, and nothing was made up to make it sound better than what it was. These are true stories, and I got many more where those come from. Matter of fact, this Love Wisconsin, when I did the interview, they got done, and the guy says, "Would you be interested in having to do a book for you?" And I said, "Absolutely."
So, you bet.
There's many more.
You bet. Well, very good. Well, Brian, I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment. Thanks again. Quickly, I don't know if you're a sports fan or not, but do you have a prediction for the big bowl game today, Super Bowl?
You know, I'd kind of like to see Cincinnati win the game. I really would. They've never won one before, so.
That's the Cinderella team. I've heard more people saying the same thing, so we'll see what happens.
All I know is I'm going to get up and go to work tomorrow, so it ain't going to really change my lifestyle much.
That's right. All righty. Well, I'll talk to you in just a minute. Brian, have a great afternoon.
Thanks,
Ty. There he goes, Brian Brigham, Mississippi Valley Dutchman out of Cashton, Wisconsin, our 409th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by Brian Brigham and the Mississippi Valley Dutchman in just a moment. Thank you. Larry Rezavian is Out of Town Checks wrapping up right there, wrapping up our 409th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. We're coming up on 15 minutes before the hour, 1 o'clock. Temperature reading of 1 degree above, and we'll get the music started right away. Running short of time, so we're going to squeeze as many in as we can. Starting out with a great old-time polka, one called the Morning Star Polka. Brian Brigham and his Mississippi Valley Dutchmen. Brian Brigham and his Mississippi Valley Dutchman with one called the Morning Star Polka. And folks, we're going to do something innovative. I've still got Brian on the line. We're going to bring Brian back in here right now to introduce this next song. Brian, you still with us here?
I'm still. You can't get rid of me.
Well, very good. So we were talking about Don Burkhart early in the interview, and Don Burkhart, a great singing voice. He does one on one of your previous recordings, Aberdeesh. And tell us a little more about that. How popular that song was. Give us the story quickly.
Well, I'll tell you, as always, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. We did not come up with that song originally. Pete and Paul Wendinger did. And I remember I had a recording that I got from the Wendinger Boys that time, and I think it was Steve Moran that sang Aberdeesh.
Okay.
And they recorded it, and I just loved that song. It was just beautiful. And I thought I had to play German Fest in Milwaukee, and I thought I need something that's going to sell down there to get everybody swaying back and forth in their chairs. And I said, I think this is the one. I talked to the Wendinger Boys.
Uh-huh.
He said, sure, help yourself. Here's the word. This is, you know, they let me have kind of reins to that song. Anyway, I went through with Don Burkhart, and we played it. We recorded it, and it turned out to be probably the most requested song that the band ever had. And a WTKM radio station out of Milwaukee was at that time owned by Scott Lopez. And he played polka music pretty much around the clock down there, 24/7. And he had told me for 16 years straight, every night at 6 o'clock, that song was requested to be played every night at 6 o'clock for 16 years was Aberdeen.
Oh, my gosh. What a run, huh? Awesome.
That was quite a run. Yeah, that was quite a run. That was pretty good run. I have to say so myself.
Well, we're going to let the folks listen to that right now. Thanks, Brian. We were still chatting on the phone for folks wondering, how do we do this, that we still continue the interview. But we were chit-chatting on the phone, and I brought up the song, and Brian told me that story, and I thought, oh, my gosh, as long as we got everything right here yet, we're going to run that over the air.
You know what? That recording that you're playing was recorded. That was a live recording done at the Park Ballroom in New Prague, Minnesota.
Is that right? Awesome. Awesome. Well, without further ado, here it is, Aberdeek featuring Don Burkhart on the vocal.
Thank you. How about that, Coach Wallstein? Call Aberdeen Stutes there. I'm all for make pretty old Germans who've got their cars singing it.
And there you go, Aberdeen. And that off of that live recording by Brian Briggan and Mississippi Valley Dutchman. And we're coming up on 5 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. And our show here brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours, Jeannie Bonfig. And yes, got a text message from Jeannie to let you know that all the February tours are full. So need to talk about tours coming up. Last call for the Lenten Journey. That is April 3rd through the 8th. And there's just 8 seats left on that tour. That is going to be that Ark Encounter and great trip. It's April 3rd through the 8th. We're going to be on that one and should be a great time. Then talk about the Spring Music Fest in Branson, Missouri, 21st through the 26th of April. This is the 2022 Branson Kickoff Week. You're going to see 6 great shows: the Presley's Jubilee, Clay Cooper's Country Express, the Haygoods, Hits of the 60s and 50s, 2 Music Fest variety shows. And at these shows, you will see the best performers in Branson entertaining for 3 hours each afternoon. Awesome lineup, show lineup with great seats reserved for Jeannie B. Tours guests. The tour also includes a deluxe motor coach transportation, experience guide, 10 meals included, Paula Dean's new restaurant, sightseeing of Branson Hidden Treasures. And, there's lots more on that trip. So, again, for more information, get your group together. Call Jeannie B. Tours, Jeannie B.'s, Jeannie Bonfig. Her phone number, 320-345-1581. And when you talk to Jeannie or see Jeannie, do me a favor. Tell her thank you for sponsoring the musical treat for Dancing Feet. It just helps out so much. And Jeannie likes to hear that, too, that people, when they call and make a reservation, where they're hearing about her information and joining her. So, it helps us all out. So, again, just mention that musical treat for Dancing Feet. You really appreciate hearing it. And it is sponsored by Jeannie B's Tours. And also, March 30th, Out Your Back Door. This is a fun-filled mystery day full of surprises. So the tour includes transportation, guide, lunch, all admissions per the itinerary, prizes and treats. And call Jeannie B's Tours to try a mystery tour. You might like being surprised all day. Remember, seeing is believing. So that's Jeannie B, Jeannie Bonfig, 320-345-1581. And again, a reminder, don't miss Footloose at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. That's March 23rd. You're going to enjoy a delicious meal of your choice, followed by the Foot Stompin' High Energy Matinee Performance. Call today for Jeannie B's Tours, 320-345-1581. Jeannie B's Tours. Boy, I've got 4 numbers pulled up, and they usually average about 3 minutes apiece, and I've only got 2 minutes left, so we're going to do some fancy work here, slipping these all in. And right now, Brian Briggan, we were talking about the CD that he made with his dad, I'm Always Dreaming. Here's a neat song, one that Phil Briggan sings, Brian's dad, one called Pearly Shells. Oh, and I got my song title switched around. This one is actually going to be I'm Slippin' Around.
Seems they always have to slip around to be you, my dear. Slippin' around, afraid we might be found. I'd rather have you near, but we just have to slip around and live in constant fear. Oh, you're tied up with someone else, and I'm all tied up too. I know I've made mistakes, dear, but I'm so in love with you. I hope someday I'll find a way to bring you back with me. Then I won't have to slip around to have you. Company.
Oh, Brian does it so well. Brian bringing in the Mississippi Valley Dutchman and one called Slipping Around. I had a couple more pulled up. Brian does a neat job, and we'll give you just a couple measures of this one. Coon Valley Twist. He does such a great job on some of these foxtrots and modern-type numbers. Yes, Brian Briggan and the Mississippi Valley Dutchman. One called the Coon Valley Twist. Just a great number. I think Brian might have wrote that one himself, too. Here's one that he had his dad sing and was a great number. One called Elsie Schulzenheim Polka. A little bit of Elsie Schulzenheim.
Did you see eyes big on round? One is black, one is brown. Oh, that's mine, Elsie Schulzenheim.
Yes, good stuff there. Elsie Schulzenheim. We'll hear more of that later in the day. Angela Mergen already in studios, and she's coaxing me to play the whole thing. She said, I love that song. And when you get a teenager that likes polka music, that's awesome. That's what Brian and I were talking about, to get the youth involved, get them dancing again. So there you go. Elsie Schulzenheim, you'll hear more of it again later today from Angela Mergen. All righty. We're going to conclude our musical treat for Dancing Feet. We've run way over time. Here's my all-time favorite Brian Briggan song. It's one called the Matilda Polka. Bringing in his Mississippi Valley Dutchman, one called the Matilda Polka. And boy, Brian can really make music. He's such a great, great band. So one of my favorites, you bet. Well, that wraps up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Running way over time today, we are already at 7 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock.